Hey, Dove, thank you very much. And hi, John. I just came in the room a couple minutes ago. I didn't know that you were speaking, but it was nice to hear your voice and to see your name on the screen. So, hello. but yes, hi, everyone. We are here for Holy Spirit Guides. It's been a few weeks since I've been here for Sunday night because I was traveling. So it's really nice to be back. Hello, Maz, Clara, everyone. We are going to be reading messages tonight from ReginaDawnAkers.com because, as you probably know, this is the time that's devoted to that. We began at the beginning with the very first message I ever received from Spirit to be helpful to me. hello, Teddy. And then we're just moving forward in chronological order, and we are up to December 2006. So what I will do first is I will share a link with you. The link is for a message called Instruction to Surrender. And actually, I perceive this as a very important message for me. In fact, I take it beyond message, actually. This, for me, was a calling. Every now and then I will receive what I call a calling from Holy Spirit, like I received a calling, as you know, to write NTI. The first message that we're going to look at tonight was also a calling to me. That's what it was. So we will be looking at that. Before I do that, I do want to talk to y'all about a couple of things that are coming up. There are a couple of events that are coming up that I'm really excited about, and I want to make sure I take the time to share. One of them, oh good, John's still in the room. One of them I want John to hear about. I want to tell you all, first of all, about the Be the Love conferences. There's going to be two Be the Love conferences this year. The first Be the Love conference is going to be in August. It's August 6th, 7th, and 8th, and it's going to be in Lynchburg, Virginia. And Dove has posted the link for us to both Be the Love conferences, the information, www.bethelove.us. And there's going to be some really interesting facilitators at the conference in Virginia. And just last night, Cheryl and Pamela and I got together, and we actually planned the schedule, the agenda for the conference. And I'm really excited about it. In fact, all three of us are very excited about it. Some of the facilitators that you will see there, in addition to Pamela and Cheryl and I, were the regulars. But yes, you're going to see Earl Purdy, who was at Be the Love last year, and I think everyone really enjoyed him, so he is returning. John Mundy, who was at our very first Be the Love, and now he is going to be returning. We also have Victoria Eisner, who has been at every Be the Love. She has been the person who gets us moving. She's our dance person, and everybody really enjoys her. Yeah, she is great, no doubt about it. We invited her the first time, and she really wasn't even a core student, but we felt guided to invite her, so we invited her anyway. And through association with all of us, all of you who came to Be the Love, she actually began studying the course. So now we can call her a core student. She's really great. She's a great addition to the Be the Love staff. We also, for music this year, we're going to have Donna Marie Carey. And a couple of ladies that she plays with. So it's Donna Marie Carey and friends. And I think she is also great. If you all are at all familiar with her music, it's highly inspired, and it's beautiful. And Dove has just posted her link, www.donnamariecarey.com. Carey is spelled C-A-R-Y. And then in addition to those people, we also have invited Nook and Tomas this year. This is the first time we've had Nook and Tomas at Be the Love, but I did get to work with them last year at Omega Institute, and I really, really enjoy Nook and Tomas's teaching. When you listen to them teach, if you haven't yet, you can tell these are two people who aren't just teaching the course, but they are truly living the course. And there's amazing evidence of that in the stories they have to share. So I'm really excited that Nook and Tomas are coming to Be the Love, Virginia. And then the other person that we have is a little different. He was actually recommended by Nook. His name is Chuck Hillig. Chuck is not a course student. However, Chuck Hillig is a highly respected teacher who comes from the Ramana Maharshi tradition. And he does do keynotes in many in many places. Yeah, some people know him. Okay, good. Yeah, he does do keynotes at many conferences. He also has been in films, interviewed in films. He does a lot of work. He's a wonderful teacher. I'm really excited to add him. Yeah, he's in the Leap movies, exactly. So I'm really excited to have Chuck Hillig as well. So that's the lineup. I hope I haven't left anybody out. That's the lineup for Be the Love Virginia. And again, that's August 6th, 7th, and 8th in Lynchburg, Virginia. As always, the prices are as low as we can get them. I think around $350, off the top of my head. I could be slightly off there, but I think it's around $350. That includes the room, the meals, and the conference. That includes everything. So it's really all-inclusive, unless you want to buy souvenirs, It's all-inclusive. The second Be the Love Conference is going to be in St. Louis, which is why I wanted John to hear. The second Be the Love Conference is going to be in St. Louis. That's going to be October 15, 16, and 17. And, of course, once again, Pamela, Cheryl, and I will be there. But in addition to us, Dove will be there. Yay! Dove, David Fishman, is going to be at the St. Louis Conference, and maybe Dove and I will teach together. We enjoy teaching together when we are together, so maybe we'll do some of that. That would be a lot of fun. Yes, he says. Okay, good. Let's see. In addition to Dove, for music, we have Scott Klickstein is going to be in St. Louis. He was at our first Be the Love in Maryland, so we're really excited to have Scott back, and he is awesome. He's both funny and he plays great, inspiring music, including one of my very favorite songs, which is called You Guide Me. I love that. And there's Scott's website, www.scottsongs.com. For movement, we have invited Kathy J. out to St. Louis. Kathy J. comes from New Hampshire. Kathy J. does the movement she does, she calls it body prayer, and it's really very nice. She was actually a student or a participant in our class out at Omega, but we invited her to lead some of her body prayer there, and everybody really loved it. We ended up closing the week at Omega. And then just a couple weeks ago, I was at Miracles Weekend in New Hampshire, and Kathy J. led the body movement there, including an hour and a half body movement breakout, which I went to. And it was just great. I mean, it was just great, a body prayer. It's not difficult. It's simple. It's very meditative. And it's nice. So we're bringing Kathy J. out to St. Louis. In addition to that, we are going to have, who else do we have in St. Louis? We have, oh yes, John Mulrooney. John Mulrooney is of the Ken Wapnick tradition, so that's the style of teaching. He is also a very talented comedian. And what he does for us at Be the Love conferences, he's been at two of our Be the Love conferences before. What he does is on Saturday night, he does just his regular comedy routine, so we get to relax a little bit and laugh. I mean, I've had many people tell me that John is the funniest man they've ever heard. And I've heard that from many people. So really, it's just wonderful to have a course teacher with that additional talent where we can just laugh and laugh and laugh. And in fact, his website is www.laughandheal.com. Earl Purdy is going to be in St. Louis with us as well. So Earl is going to be at both Virginia and St. Louis, and we really expect St. Louis to enjoy Earl. In fact, when I mentioned that we were going to bring Earl out to St. Louis, someone there had said, oh yes, they'd heard about him from the last San Francisco, and they really wanted him there. So we're real excited we're bringing him. He's www.earlpurdy.com. And then we also have Linda McNabb. And Linda McNabb is going to come out to St. Louis. Linda McNabb has written a great book, which the name of it is eluding me right now, Dove. What's the name of Linda's book? Do you remember? One Again. Yeah. It's a great book about true forgiveness. I mean, Linda doesn't hide anything in this book. You really get to see into who Linda was. You really get to see into the pain in her life. And then you really get to see her waking up from that. In fact, Dove is using, I think it's the opening sentence to her book. It says, "I was born into insanity, and everything went downhill from there." It's a pretty juicy story. Yeah, it's a pretty juicy story with some true forgiveness at the end. So Linda McNabb is also coming out to St. Louis. So hopefully I haven't forgotten anyone. I'm not looking at a cheat sheet or anything. And again, St. Louis is going to be October 15, 16, and 17. And you can register for either or both, since they're really different. Some people I know might want to come to both. Again, prices are very low. I think it's around $350. For room, food, and conference for all 3 days. You can register at www.bethelove.us. So that's one thing I wanted to tell you about. Another thing I want to talk about, Teddy says he wants to be the cook. Teddy's a good cook too. I enjoy. I will be at Teddy's house. I'll just throw that in. I will be at Teddy's house with Open Doors, if you're in the New England area, on November 20th of this year, an all-day workshop. So that'll be a lot of fun. And Teddy will cook, I think. So that'll be a lot of fun. But the other thing I wanted to talk to you about right now was the Israel trip that is coming up. Every time I even say that, if you guys could feel the inside of me when I say that, you would know that this trip is guidance. It's amazing. If I just even say Israel trip, my entire inside lights up and tingles. I can't even describe it, actually. For lack of better words, hopefully nobody here is ACI and prejudiced against words. I feel like this trip is very, very special. That's how I feel on the inside. And it almost brings tears to my eyes to say that. I feel like this trip is very, very special. And I don't know why. I am going there because I feel called to go there. And I don't have a real plan. Kevin Fitzgerald, who is also a teacher of A Course in Miracles, is a travel agent. And he is the one that had the idea for the trip. And he's the one that called me and invited me to go and to organize the trip along with him. And he has created an agenda, which is a tourist-like agenda, you know, where we're going to go to many of the places that are mentioned in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's going to be a wonderful tour. But to be honest, there's a feeling in me that this is about more than that. And I feel very much that I need to say that we're not going to really plan our moments there beyond, you know, where the bus is going to drive. And what we're going to do is we're going to let Holy Spirit bring to us what Holy Spirit wants to bring to us. I feel that we will probably have some wonderful discussions. I feel that we will probably have some times of silence. But I really think that this is Holy Spirit's trip. So if anyone is feeling guided to go to the Israel trip, let me give you a link where you can register for the Israel trip as well as everything else that I'm involved in, to be honest. Oops, that's the wrong link. Hold on 1 second. Let me go get you a link. 1 second. All right, here's a link. All right, this link is http://conferences.forholyspirit.org. So there's no www. It's just conferences.forholyspirit.org. And that's really a list of all of the events that I'm involved in. But that's where you can go, and you can click on the link for the Israel trip, and you can find out the information how to register. You register through Kevin. We are going this year, this September, September 18 through 28. And in fact, without knowing it, the date that Kevin picks, September 18th, is the Day of Atonement on the Jewish calendar. I don't think it's an accident that we're leaving on that day. And like I said, the trip feels very special to me. I'm really excited about this one, and I'm happy to go and discover why we're going. I'm happy to go and discover why we're going. So if anybody else knows that they are guided to go, please register. I think it's time. If you don't have your passports, it's definitely time to apply for your passport. Danielle and Jasmine did that this week. Okay, Lisa said she needs teaching tonight. Please. Okay, so what she's not saying is, Regina, shut up and teach. But it is time. You're right, Lisa. It is time. So that's what I'm going to do next. So let's see. Maz is saying, I have friends on the Mount of Olives. I would like to introduce you to all of our Palestinian friends there. The Mount of Olives, I think that might be one of the places that we're going. Is that true? I can look at the agenda, Maz, and get in touch with you. But, yeah, I'm really excited to go. Yeah, it's in Jerusalem. Okay, yeah, we're going there. That's on our itinerary. All right, so Lisa is now giving me the call to teach. No, Lisa, you're right. It's time. I just wanted to talk about Be the Love in Israel. I felt it was time to do that too. But let me go back and get the link for the message that we're going to look at tonight. Here you go. If you haven't opened it yet, this is the message that we're going to be looking at. The message is called Instruction to Surrender. And as I mentioned, this message was more than a message to me. This message was a calling. And so I'll share everything with you that came to me through this message. What I'm going to do first, of course, is go into prayer. If y'all would join me. Holy Spirit, I am guided to ask for guidance in all things. This is what we call surrender. It's about not listening to the thinking mind. When we listen to the thinking mind with its problems and potential solutions, and we make decisions, we are also simultaneously clinging to the belief that we are a separate individual. When we surrender and we ask for guidance in all things, we are accepting that we are not a separate individual. We are accepting that there is a totality here, and that the best way for us to know what to do is to check in with the mind that is aware of the totality, aware of all of the movement, aware of what is in the best interest of the whole. Whenever there is a problem in my mind and I look at the potential solutions and I make a decision, I am thinking of my little self, maybe also my immediate family, my immediate group. But there is no way I could be thinking about the whole. It's not even possible with the partial perspective that I have. When I forget what I think is in my best interests, when I forget what I think is in the best interests of my inner circle, my inner group, and I realize that love knows, and I check within for guidance in all things, I am remembering there is a whole. It is a step forward, away from the belief in separation, to the realization, the acceptance, and the embracing of oneness. So it is my guidance to ask for guidance in all things. Holy Spirit, what I ask from you is that you help me to remember my guidance. Help me to remember to ask, not to think and decide, but to ask. Amen. Can I be in the inner circle? Yeah, the inner circle would be, for each of us, those people that we feel most associated with. It could be our family, it could be work people, You know, if you're in a condo situation and there's a problem, it could be the other condo people. What's in the best interest of the condo, and the government is the one you're against. The inner circle is the people that you perceive on your side. But you and your inner circle are still separate from someone, right? So that would be your inner circle. And we all have more than one inner circle, right? We probably have multiple inner circles. All right. So I think everybody has the link, but I will post the link one more time. And the message is called Instruction to Surrender. So here we go. Holy Spirit, I clear my mind of all the thoughts that I've been thinking. I don't want any of them, since they pertain to matters that are ultimately unimportant and meaningless. I ask only to follow your instruction that I surrender and follow you in trust. That is all that has meaning now, and I know that in my heart. I put everything else aside and ask, what would you share with me now? Okay, before I go into this message, I do need to tell you the story of this day. This was actually a very important day for me. As I mentioned, this message is not just a message for me, it is a calling. And this, remember, came in December of 2006. So, what is that, 3.5 years ago? On this particular day, I was guided to read something. And what I was guided to read was a calling. But it was a calling for another individual. I was reading someone else's story, and I read this other individual's calling. This individual, by the way, is someone that we would call, you know, no longer on earth, somebody dead or someone who's transitioned, however you want to word that. So it wasn't a what we would call a living person. But I was reading this other person's calling. And as I was reading this other person's calling, I had the experience of being that person and receiving his calling directly. And it was a pretty strong experience. And I guess that's all I need to say about that. So I had this experience of being this person and receiving his calling directly. And I had the experience of once again saying yes to it. After that, I came back to being Regina, and I don't really remember now what I did next. But then I had a second experience on the heels of the first experience. The second experience that I had was I lost all identity. I was still a person. In fact, I noticed Maz has written the sentence, unlike being an apple. This experience was unlike being the apple, because when I was the apple, I was not a person at all. The I was not a person. In this first experience that I had that day, the I became another person, but it had an identity. So, like if we were talking about Maz, okay, if Maz was the other person, I became Maz. That's who I was as I received the calling and said yes to it again. I became this other person. Then I came back to being Regina, and I was, you know, fully Regina again. But then I had an experience of being nobody, no identity, which was a completely different experience. And it's very difficult to describe, because I was still experiencing myself within this body. I still looked out of these eyes. I still would have seen a cup as a cup, you know, a computer as a computer. But still, the way of seeing was completely different, because the mind was completely different. The mind was not a thinking mind. There was still a mind. Where the apple didn't have a mind at all, there was still a mind. But the mind was not a thinking mind. In fact, the only thing the mind seemed to do was listen and occasionally question for like the next instruction. And so I would call it a receiving mind. That's what I would call it. I had a receiving mind. And one of the things that I remember when I was nobody And I had only a receiving mind. There was no thinking, only receiving. One of the instructions I received was to go over to the computer, to go to forholyspirit.org, and to pull up the biography of Regina. And so I'm reading Regina's biography. It's a one-page biography. And I had what I'm going to call a very distant memory at this point, a very, very distant memory that I used to think I was her. And it was funny to me because in that state of mind, I knew how impossible that was, that I could be a character. You know, Regina was just a character. And I knew how impossible it was that I could be a character. And I thought it was funny that I had ever thought that I was Regina. But in that biography was Regina's calling. That biography includes the message that I got from Holy Spirit asking me to write for it, to be the scribe. And it also includes the message I got from Holy Spirit asking me to read the New Testament and let it be interpreted through me. And even though I was in no way seeing myself as Regina in that moment, I felt guidance from this mind that I listened to. Remember, I was a receiving mind, listening to a mind that guided me. I felt guidance to accept Regina's calling as my calling, to accept it. And so I said yes to that as well. And then at some point that experience moved away from me and I became Regina again. Now the thoughts that entered my mind after these two experiences, as you can imagine, you know, even though these experiences were what I would call mystical experiences, the ego can still pop in as soon as the experiences are over. So what popped into my mind once these experiences ended was confusion, which is ego. And the confusion became this other person that I had been temporarily, that I had accepted his calling again, that I had said yes to his calling again. The question became, is that who I was in a previous life? Was I him? Is that me? And that's why I start this particular message with Holy Spirit, I clear my mind of all the thoughts that I've been thinking. In other words, I came to an awareness that my mind was trying to determine, was I him, as if I am now Regina. I am Regina. Was I him? And my mind was focused on the personalities and trying to define who I was through personalities, rather than accepting the nobody experience I had just had. It was trying to lock on and define, I am Regina, and I was also this other individual in a previous life. And I recognized that that was confusion. I recognized that was an error. So I sat down with Spirit and I said, Holy Spirit, I clear my mind of all the thoughts that I've been thinking. I don't want any of them, since they pertain to matters that are ultimately unimportant and meaningless. In other words, I chose to say that it is unimportant whether I was this individual in a previous life or not. That is meaningless. That does not matter. It is not important. And the temptation was to take that on, that additional identity. That was the ego temptation to take it on. I chose to say, no, it's unimportant. So, Holy Spirit, I clear my mind of all the thoughts that I've been thinking. I don't want any of them, since they pertain to matters that are ultimately unimportant and meaningless. I ask only to follow your instruction that I surrender and follow you in trust. That is all that has meaning now, and I know that in my heart. I put everything else aside and ask, what would you share with me now? So this is the message that came. The first thing Holy Spirit said was, your teaching on grandeur versus grandiosity is very important for you because the commitment to humility is key now. Now, this was in December of 2006, and I had been guided to teach on a Sunday night here in Pal Talk that section of A Course in Miracles, Grandeur versus Grandiosity. So the very first thing Holy Spirit is telling me is this is a very important teaching for me, because it is time for me to make a commitment to humility. And the reason that it was time for me to make a commitment to humility is because Holy Spirit was going to continue to use me. I was going to continue to step into a fuller service life. It appears there continues to be more visibility. And it's very important that I not let ego get in that. It's very important. It's important to me, and it's important to all of us. You know, we can be a very good servant to the Holy Spirit. We can be incredibly useful. But in order to do that, we must keep the ego out of it. The personal identification cannot be important. Not the personal identification with Regina, not the personal identification with the idea that I was this other person in another lifetime, not the personal identification as a scribe, as an author, as a teacher, or whatever else Holy Spirit may ask me to do. So, your teaching on grandeur versus grandiosity is very important for you, because the commitment to humility is key now. For you can only serve me fully through full humility, which is willingness to completely lay the self aside. And since I had just had the experience of being, well, two selves, right? This self from our history, and then this self called Regina. I had just, in the 15 minutes prior to this message, 20 minutes prior to this message, had the experience of being two selves and the experience of being nobody. Because I just had that experience, I knew exactly what Spirit was talking about when he said willingness to completely lay the self aside. I knew that the idea that I am Regina is an error. And that Regina is doing this, and Regina is doing that, and Regina deserves credit for that, and Regina deserves blame for that. All of that is bull. Because I had experienced the nobody mind. The nobody mind that just received and followed. And I know that that mind is still there. It may be covered up by the Regina mind when Regina's thinking. But the receive and follow mind is there. The nobody mind is there. The nobody mind is the servant. You know, in A Course in Miracles, Jesus tells us that the final lesson he learned was to listen to only one voice. I would say that was my experience when I was nobody. I was listening to one voice and doing what that voice said. And there was, you know, what do you call how I felt? I mean, there's no fears, no concerns, no worries, no doubts, no thinking. And it was happiness. It was, you know, just contentedness with a capital C. You know, I didn't read things and worry about them or try and figure anything out. I just listened and did in a very happy way. There was no self in the way. So I know that when Holy Spirit says willingness to completely lay the self aside, he is talking about the thinking. What do I think about this? How do I think I can do this? How can I make this better? What might be wrong? What risk management do I need to make sure this project finishes on time? All of that stuff needed to be let go. Because that receiving mind had no thinking in it. The thinking is the self. The little less self. So again, he says, you can only serve me fully through full humility. And then here's how he defines full humility. Willingness to completely lay the self aside. Do you see how humble that is? That you lay your thinking aside? just listen, follow. Do you see how humble that is? That is truly full humility. He says, you had an experience this morning where you saw that Regina is an identity that is not of you. So he's talking about when I was the nobody and I was reading Regina's biography and I saw her as a character and I had that very distant memory. It was very tiny. I could like hardly hold on to it, a very distant memory that I had once thought I was her. And I laughed at the ridiculousness of that. This is the experience he's referring to. He says, you had an experience this morning where you saw that Regina is an identity that is not of you. Regina, in those moments, seemed to be someone else. And that was a character. He says, you could not identify with her. And you saw yourself identifying with someone else. That would be this person I spoke about from our history. And you saw yourself identifying with someone else. But you decided to let that go also. Yet, you chose to keep the instructions I had given to them both. I told you that when I experienced myself as this man, what I was reading was a calling that was written down. It was his calling. But then I experienced myself as him, and I experienced myself saying yes to the calling. What I later chose to do was not take on the idea that I had been this man in a previous life. I decided that was unimportant, meaningless, not even worth thinking about. But my heart took on his calling. My heart said, yes, I will do that. I will do that. And then when I was nobody, I read Regina's calling. And although I did not in that moment at all think that I was Regina, I was asked to say yes to her calling as well, and I said, yes, I will do that. So in both cases, I let go of the identity of the person. And in both cases, I said yes to what they were asked to do. So again, Holy Spirit says, you had an experience this morning where you saw that Regina is an identity that is not of you. Regina, in those moments, seemed to be someone else. You could not identify with her. And you saw yourself identifying with someone else. But you decided to let that go also. Yet, you chose to keep the instructions I had given them both. This is an example of looking beyond form, which is meaningless, to content, which is meaningful. In this case, you are seeing that you are no person, but you are a flow, and you are willing to surrender to the flow of which you are. You are willing to let go of the person, which has no meaning, and surrender fully to the flow in service to the Yah. In other words, what I had become willing to do was be that receiving mind without the thinking mind, without the personality identification. Just receive instructions from Holy Spirit and then do it without any credit or blame. Holy Spirit continues. There are many things that you do not understand at a conscious level, of which you need not understand consciously. One mistake that probably most of us, if not all of us, make is that we study the teachings of truth with the attitude that we need to learn this. The funny thing is, when I received my first calling to write for Holy Spirit, I had only been a student of A Course in Miracles for, I think, 7 months. I had never been in a study group. I was not yet aware of Pal Talk or the Peace of God or anything. Talk about green behind the ears. And Spirit asked me to write for it and then teach what I write, because it told me that's how I would learn. It also told me that's why I was here. My thought at that time was nothing like, yes, I'm the one that should be teaching A Course in Miracles of Spirituality. My thought was, me, I don't know anything. That is how I saw myself. I don't know anything. And what I didn't realize then is that was okay, because the knowledge wasn't going to come from the intellectual mind. I didn't need to study and know A Course in Miracles to be the one who listens and writes down what Spirit says. I can know nothing and do that. See, the mistake we make is thinking that we have to know this stuff consciously, intellectually. We have to study it. We have to get it right. That's an error. The truth is, all of the knowledge we need is within us. All we need is to learn how to open up that channel and receive exactly the knowledge we need when we need it, and it will be provided. So what Spirit says, again, is there are many things that you do not understand at a conscious level. So 2 years later, 2 years after receiving my calling, because I first received my calling to write and teach in November of 2004. So 2 years later, December of 2006, I still don't know it all. I haven't learned it all intellectually. And today, I still haven't learned it all intellectually, right? So he says, there are many things that you do not understand at a conscious level, of which you need not understand consciously. Now listen to this sentence. As this knowledge is needed, it will be given you, so that it may be very surprising sometimes to hear what you will say. Do not let this bother you. Do not judge it and find yourself wrong. Do not feel grand for finding such wisdom within. Remember your place, and you remain fully in the flow as I am. My place is the receiving mind, not the thinking mind, not the memorize all that spiritual stuff in that book mind, not the spit out what I read mind, the receiving mind. And it has happened to me many, 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 many times that deep spiritual teachings that I have never heard or never thought about consciously have come through me when I was speaking. It's happened many times now, so I've gotten used to it. But where does that come from? I didn't read all the books, I promise. I don't have it memorized. But I've got like the world's worst memory. Even if I had read the books, I would have forgotten what they said. When I'm the receiving mind, when I'm doing my job, because this is the job I've been given, everything I need to do the job is given in the moment. I don't need to have known it previously. I don't need to have studied it. What I do need is the trust that that will always be true. This is what Jesus said to the disciples when he sent them out to teach two by two, right? He told them not to think in advance about what they will say, you know, but to trust that the Father would give them what to say in the moment. That's the same instruction I'm being given here. There are many things that you do not understand at a conscious level, of which you need not understand consciously. As this knowledge is needed, it will be given you, so that it may be very surprising sometimes to hear what you will say. Do not let this bother you. Do not judge it and find yourself wrong. Do not feel grand for finding such wisdom within. Remember your place, the receiving mind. Receive and follow. Remember your place, and you remain fully in the flow as I am. Your job is follower. And at times it may look as if you lead, but never forget that you follow. Humility of mind is your greatest asset now. Remember to bow down for me, and all that I have to give shall rise up within you. Do you hear that? My job is to follow. Sometimes I may appear to be a leader, and I recognize that appearance. I see it. I know it's there. But the way I lead is by following. That's my calling. I always follow. That's my job. Your job is follower. And at times it may look as if you lead, but never forget that you follow. Humility of mind is your greatest asset now. Remember to bow down for me. Listen to this. Remember to bow down for me, and all that I have to give shall rise up within you. Isn't that amazing? He continues, you are a giver. You are never to keep for yourself, but always to pass on. In this way, you are a part of the flow. You are a conduit that allows the flow to continue by not attempting to stop or filter the flow. For this reason, all judgment must be laid aside now. Judgment filters the flow, which weakens it. You can be the full light that is the flow by not taking from it through judgment. Now, this was a very important paragraph for me, guys. I told you I see this message as a calling. This was a very important paragraph for me because I have received wisdom with a capital W that my thinking mind wanted to judge. My thinking mind wanted to scratch it out and throw it away. And I'll be honest, at times it took great, great effort to deliver the information exactly as it was given. With practice, that became easier. But before I was practiced, it took great, great effort. Because the ego mind wanted to slash and edit and change what had been received. But do you see how that's not my job? That's not my job. I am never to keep for myself. I'm always to pass on. I am a conduit that allows the flow to continue by not attempting to stop or filter the flow. I pass on everything that Spirit asked me to pass on. Through teaching, through writing. I'll be honest. Lately I have been asked to pass on less. I write with Spirit in the morning. And lately I've been asked I guess the feeling is that is just for me. Like I am receiving a very personal coaching now where some of the teaching that came through me before was what I would call universal coaching. And there's a difference in the guidance. I'm not keeping for myself. I'm being groomed to be an even better receiver and therefore a better teacher, guide. And the specific grooming that I'm receiving is not universal teaching right now. And so unless it comes up in a teaching, sometimes when I'm teaching, I'll say, oh, let me grab my notebook. I feel to share this. Unless it comes up in a teaching, most of what's in my notebook now stays in my notebook. But it isn't anything that isn't already in NTI or in the inner Ramana messages or the messages that came to Regina and Laurent or these personal messages on ReginaDonAkers.com. It's just the specific language, the specific instructions have gotten very specific for me on that date and time. They're not universal. And for other people to think that that specific guidance was for them also would be an error. We're each to ask within and find our very specific guidance. There is universal guidance, that comes out in books like A Course in Miracles and NTI that is for all of us. There is very specific guidance that is individual. So lately, most of what I write has been of that specific nature. But when I write, no matter what I write, if the guidance is to share it, I share it. Because that's my job. Holy Spirit then continued. He said, I have no other instructions for you now except that you continue to practice surrender. Practice all that I ask you to practice. In this way, you are most helpful and most useful to me now. Okay, now you get an example of grabbing my notebook. I'm feeling prompted to share what I received this morning in my personal coaching. Hold on. I do try to be clear all of the time now, but I've not yet achieved that. I've not yet achieved 100% clarity, 100% consistency and clarity. I do slip into confusion from time to time. And this morning I slipped into some confusion, which is why there was coaching. Let's see if I can get what that confusion was back. Ah. Okay, yeah, I can. Typically, when I read now, when I am guided to read, usually I'm guided to read Ramana. That seems to he is my coach right now, my primary coach. So typically, when I am reading, I really do understand everything I read. I do have great clarity, and there is no question. I read, I understand, I follow. But this morning, I read something I did not understand, and when I read it, my mind shifted into a mode that it used to be in, which I would call, I am the student, you are the teacher. That's the way I did most of my writing with Spirit before that you have seen. I am the student, you are the teacher. I do not know, you do know. And so I have to ask you. if you know the teaching from Ramana about the three states of mind, the resistor, the doubter, and abiding, and you know my guidance is to be in abiding, that was a slip back into doubter. Because doubter is, I do not know, I have to ask the teacher. That's the doubter. So this morning when I read a sentence in one of Ramana's books that I did not understand, I slipped temporarily back into the doubter. And I grabbed my notebook and I said, what is meant by? It does not necessarily mean discarding the non-self, but it means discovering the true self. And I received an answer just in the ways I used to receive answers, like the ones we're reading now. I received an answer, and I'm not even going to read it because that's not important, okay? But I received an answer to my question. It was a perfectly good answer, but the funny thing is, I was back to that old feeling of I didn't know this answer. I had to ask Spirit for it. I was back to that doubter position again. And so I found myself even asking another doubter question. My next question became, how do we discover self? I was back to being the student asking the teacher, right? And so Spirit said to me when I said, how do we discover the self? Did Spirit answer me? Oh, yes. Okay. When I said, how do we discover the self? Spirit said, follow my teachings in each moment of remembrance, which means every time you think about it, do what I've asked you to do. You know, practice your mantra, you know, whatever it is your practice is. When you remember, do it. Feeling very much like the student in this moment, I felt like I needed more from Spirit. So I said, what shall I write now? And then Ramana showed up. And Ramana said, who asks, what shall I write? Is it not the student? Who is the student? Is it not the doubter? The best practice now is to move from doubter to abiding. This transition is made through willingness. Willingness is enhanced or strengthened through practice. Now listen to this. But practice, or being student, is not the answer. practice and student must be let go of to abide. And again, feeling like the student in that moment, I wrote, my mind is scattered. Do you see how I was fully back to that I don't know position? My mind is scattered. And Ramana says, whose mind is scattered? To whom does this mind appear? Who suffers from the scattering, and who is often clear and at peace? Does that I change? Who is the I? So he's reminding me, of course, now I am mostly clear and at peace. And he's reminding me that what I am is that same I. Now I am saying I'm scattered, but typically I do not have that experience. Who's the I? He said, does the I change? Is the I sometimes scattered and sometimes clear? What is the I? Then he says, I is a reminder of I am. And then he said, it is your new mantra. And he gave me the mantra, which actually he gave me this mantra a while ago, and I did not accept it. So this is him giving me the mantra again. He's telling me my new mantra is simply the word I. But when I say I, I'm to remember that it's a reminder of I am. He says, meet each false identification, like the idea I am scattered. Meet each false identification with the reminder of truth, I. And then he went on to tell me the difference between the student and the practicer, because in giving me a mantra, he's asking me to practice. But yet he's telling me not to be the student. So here's the difference between the student and the practicer. The student says, I don't know, and I must allow another to show me the way. The practicer says, I do know, and I must allow the answer to appear. So this is the reason we practice the mantra, or whatever we practice, because we know the knowledge is within us. And we know that if we practice these practices, the knowledge will rise up. There is not the idea, I must receive the idea from another, which is the student. So, I go back to this message. We're at the last three paragraphs on the screen. I have no other instructions for you now except that you continue to practice surrender. Practice all that I ask you to practice. In this way, you are most helpful and useful to me. Through practice, I am the receiving mind. The knowledge will rise up. Remember, if I bow down for Holy Spirit, all that Holy Spirit has to give will rise up within me. I bow down to Holy Spirit by practicing what he asks me to practice. But that does not make me the student. He says, put aside all judgment. Put aside all judgment. Seek only to surrender. Ask not to be you, but only to know me. This is the letting go of Regina. Ask not to be you, but only to know me. In this way, you know yourself fully. And then he said, go now and practice with your every breath. Many surprises await you. And there have been many surprises since December of 2006. You know, the entire Laurent experience with all of those messages. Even the publisher being given, all of that with NTI and how NTI was published. The guidance to move to Pueblo. I mean, there have been many, many, many surprises that have come through surrender. And I'm certain there are many more. My guidance, as I said in the prayer, my guidance is to be guided. That is my guidance, not to think and decide for myself, but to allow guidance to arise and to follow that. And someone is asking, how was NTI published? I don't really have the time now to tell the full story. So the abbreviated story is, I was asked not to look for a publisher, that a publisher would be provided. And of course, in the world, you know, that's suicide. If you don't look for a publisher, you're not going to find one. but I chose to follow the guidance and not look for a publisher, and one was provided. So that's the short version of the story. And let's see, Maz is saying, Laurent experience, was that specifically designed? That was guided. Yeah, I was guided to join with Laurent. Absolutely. Oh, and Maria's saying she has the same guidance. Good. So now you know it works, Maria. When you're guided not to look, not looking works. All right. I think that I'm out of time. Tom Glaude is coming on great, which Tom and I have not really spoke a lot. We've spoke a little. We were on the same Yahoo group for a short time. But in that short time, I gained deep respect for him. I'm going to try and hang around a little bit. This is dinner time here, and I think you guys know I'm also the cook, among other duties. But I am going to try and listen to a little bit of Tom. So you guys enjoy Tom, and I'll see you on Wednesday morning for Awakenings. Bye.